Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Warrior Mind Podcast. I'm Greg Swanson, your mental strength coach, guide, and mentor. To find out more about mental strength and Warrior Mind coaching, please visit us at www.warriormindcoach.com. And you can check us out also at the world famous blog, www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. And again, I'm pleased to have with me my good friend and producer, Rishi.
Thank you, Greg, for the wonderful introduction.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Last recording, we talked a lot about coaching and what it can do for your client, or what it can do for anyone who's trying to make any type of improvement and any type of change for himself. What can coaching do in regards to fitness and getting healthy?
Great question. That is fantastic. And that, as you know, is both near and dear to both our hearts, being avid kettlebell workouts and Bujikan and high-intensity intervals and all that kind of fun stuff. And I think we're blessed with the mindset that fitness is fun.
Yes, yes.
And fitness being more than just working out, but proper nutrition and stuff. So,
and recovery.
Very good. We talked about that before our podcast. Just a little side note before we get into this, but this is how also coaching can help is, you know, there's been a lot of articles recently that excessive exercise is bad. It suppresses the immune system. You go into overtraining and all the other aspects of it. But what these studies don't look at and what people fail to realize is what has caused their immune system to fall, first of all, because if you look at it, your parasympathetic nervous system is always up. In this day and age, it's always up. It's opposed to, there's a great book we talked about before, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. You look at the jungle, zebra hanging out very passively, great, lion comes, rushes after him, parasympathetic nervous system engages, adrenaline, cortisol, boom, runs out of there. He escapes the lion, goes back to grazing. Very simple, right? Up and down, the sympathetic, parasympathetic. Well, in our day and age, our parasympathetic nervous system is always up. It's always firing. So we don't have chance to relax and recover. Mm-hmm. So what exercise does is it actually heightens the bar of our parasympathetic nervous system. So now when we come off of it, we actually do have a chance to recover. Unfortunately, though, we start workout programs with an already suppressed immune system. If we haven't been working out regularly and we just start it, it's going to be there. So part of, quote, overtraining is lack of proper nutrition and lack of recovery, including sleep.
No, this is not a message saying that you should never work out. Because, as you mentioned, when you work out, we already are at a heightened, parasympathetic nervous system is already heightened. But this is not an excuse not to work out.
Right, because working out actually helps the sympathetic nervous system by putting the parasympathetic up higher. The key is that start looking at nutrition and start building up your immune system as you continue to work out. And more importantly, have a great recovery drink with some branched chain amino acids, some nice clean carbohydrates, and plenty of rest. This does not mean staying up to 12 o'clock at night and getting up at 4 to go to the gym. This is, you know, minimum, I say. For me, 6 hours, I'm good for about 3 days, and then I need a seventh hour the next day. And so, but really, you know, plenty of rest, and that's sleep rest, not laying in bed wondering about the bills.
Yeah, that would heighten your
parasympathetic nervous system, all of that. If you sit in bed or watching TV, even if you think you're relaxing watching TV, one, if it's a cop show, you become attached to it, the characters, you're going to experience those feelings in the show. Two, you may be going through your mind during the commercials of, geez, what bills have to be paid? What has to go here? What am I going to say to my boss tomorrow? Have a myriad of monkey brain or monkey talk in your head. All of that contributes to cortisol and the stress hormones that are released. So you have to have a great sleep. This way, we're not overtraining, we're just under recovering. So okay. That's my little soapbox speech for this session. But we'll get into fitness, right? And some fitness and coaching and NLP and some other aspects. And you know, just to review, one of the methods or the processes that I really like is what Robert Diltz talks about is from coach to awakener. And at each stage, there's a individual aspect of the coach to look at, such as the environmental factors, behavioral factors, the capabilities, beliefs and values, identity, and even the spiritual factors. And all those play into fitness. So we'll just go through these a little bit, and we'll have a discussion about it and see how a coach can help a person who's either on a fitness program that's not getting success, which pretty much everybody at some point in time or has hit their head or on a ceiling and they want to go buy it. So if we look at a coach, how a coach would be different than a trainer in my aspects, a fitness coach and a fitness trainer. The trainer is there to make sure that every rep you do is executed in perfect form, that you have the correct weights on it in proportion to your exercise, your form is perfect, and they're keeping record for you of your reps, your sets, so that they can help you improve in that level. They'll keep track of your body weight and your fat and those type of things. That was what I see a personal trainer doing. Unfortunately, personal trainers have taken upon themselves, and because they care about their clients, are trying to add more value to their clients' lives. And so now they become therapists, they become nutritional guidance counselors, and they become a whole myriad of things where they're not able to focus on what they do best, and that's actually get the client's heart rate up there, get them stronger, and get them fit. So a fitness coach would work with a personal trainer and come up with a program to help their client progress and continually to progress. And a fitness coach, one of the things that they would look at is the environmental factors. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean just the gym.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, well, you know, there. Most people think about, well, do I have a gym to go to? Do I work out at home, or do I work out in the gym? That's it. That's all I have to worry about. Well, your environmental factors come into play with what's at home, what's in your closet, not your oversized clothes, but what's in your closets, in your kitchen, your cupboards, you know, your food. What type of food do you have? Are the other members of your family supportive? Are they going to allow you to throw out those Oreos? Are they going to have a mutiny?
Yeah.
So those are aspects that they can look into, the environmental factors, and your work and your friends. All of those play into environmental factors. I mean, you look at clients, they're in the gym hopefully 1 hour every day, but most likely 1 hour every other day. Mm-hmm. Most people on a fitness, they either do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or, you know, sometimes
Monday,
they'll do some
Tuesday, Thursday,
yeah,
Friday.
Something. 5 days in a row, I think is very, very rare. 3 days, okay. So 3 hours out of a whole week, you know, you work 40 hours a week and you get stuff accomplished. 3 hours of working out. And people expect to have dramatic transformations in their body because of all the commercials that are out there. Yet they don't take a look at their environmental factors. And this is where a coach can help them adequately critique all the environmental factors that are around them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Do you even, because I could see a coach at someone's house and seeing a very comfortable couch on the in the living room. And just how nice and soft and plush it is, and just understanding how hard it can be to get off that couch. It just one example of seeing other people's lifestyles and trying to offer recommendations.
Right, exactly. And the funny thing, you know, we've talked about anchors and anchoring quite a bit, and that couch is an anchor. You know, when a person comes home from work, if they don't go right to the gym, which is why I recommend changing, which we'll get into next, is behavioral. Is instead of going home, seeing the couch, firing off that anchor of relaxing, the coach can help them change that behavior, and that's the next step. So, right, we've talked a little bit about environmental factors, and you made a great segue between environmental and behavior. So, behavioral factors, the environmental talks about where something happens. The behavior talks about what is it? What is the person doing? So instead of coming, you know, a coach can help them look at their lifestyle and say, okay, instead of coming home from work first, seeing that couch, having the anchor fire off in you of relaxing and I'll do it later, the coach would help them come up with alternative ways of either going to the gym on the way to work, on the way back from work, during lunch, some other times that would change their behavior. Because as we've talked about also before, Rishi, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Groundhog Day is a great movie, and I recommend anybody who's listening here to rent it, to watch it, to look at it, and look at it from a perspective of how generally the population repeats the same behaviors over and over and over again, and we get the same results over and over again. Bill Murray did a great job. He did a little bit of change every day until he finally got what he wanted. He didn't give up, but it was a little bit of a change, and he kept with it. We do a little bit of a change, a behavioral change for 1 or 2 weeks, 30 days, don't see the results we want, we give up, go back and say it doesn't work. Well,
then there's also this funny cycle. For example, in the gym, Mondays are the most crowded days I've noticed in the gym. Tuesdays, a little less people. Wednesdays, not so many people. Thursday, Friday. Well, Thursday's closer to the weekend. Then there's Friday, Saturday. So, and then back on Monday, you got this huge crowd of fitness enthusiasts,
quote,
taking up all
unquote.
The yeah. You got the huge crowd of people working out and taking on the machines on Mondays. It's
right, and that's a great point. And that's where if you don't like crowds, and you feel that that's the only time, you know, we tell ourselves stories and we believe these stories that we tell us. And a great coach can help you look at those stories for what they are. It's just a story, and start asking some questions. For instance, if you felt that you had to go to the gym on Monday, but you didn't like crowds, so what else are you going to do? Well, how about start the training on Friday? Go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, you know, if you have some spiritual practices on Sunday, great. So skip it, then skip Monday and do Tuesday, Wednesday. There's so many alternatives to it that behavior-wise, we set ourselves up for failure most of the time. And that's where a coach can come up to help you set yourself up for success and working on your behaviors. And that behaviors include nutrition. It would include, you know, making, as Bill Phillips once said, if you have to make a bad choice, make a better bad choice. Mm-hmm. If you have to have pizza, have one slice instead of two. But I'm not condoning pizza except for your cheat day. But, right? I mean, this is where a coach can help with those behavioral issues. And those behavioral issues even come back to your mindset when you think about things, because obviously that's where behaviors come from. But the fitness coach can take a look at those behavioral issues. There's a great example in a paper I was just reading that there was a gentleman who was a CEO of a company, severely overweight, 500 pounds, mm-hmm. severe. He knew it. He knew he was headed for a heart attack, but he refused to go to the gym. He just didn't like the gym. He didn't want to go to the gym, and nobody could figure out why. He was about to have bypass surgery in his stomach and intestine ties, which is actually the worst thing to do, because you don't get your nutrition, you don't get your water, you don't get anything that you need, and all you do is have saggy skin. So he worked with a fitness coach, and after a great deal, not a great deal, but a couple of sessions, they found out that because the CEO was so type A, he didn't want to lose anything, not even his fat. Lose. He had such a huge adversity to losing, subconsciously, he didn't even want to lose fat. So the coach flipped it on him and talked about gaining strength. How strong are you? How strong are you? I bet you're not this strong. And that kind of challenged him a little bit. So when this CEO then grasped the idea of gaining strength, he was all over it. So he would go to the gym, and the coach was also a trainer, so worked out a plan where he could gain some strength, put him on a good diet so he could gain strength. But mm-hmm. what happened was he lost fat, but gained strength. But it it turned him over. But that was a behavioral change, right? It was type of a behavioral that he didn't want to go. And so a coach did fantastic things with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. And you start thinking about these little programs that we have running in our skull that we don't even know about until you have a good coach to look at them. Mm-hmm. The other part a coach can help out with is the capabilities. You know, are you capable of driving to the gym?
Yeah.
Right? Are you capable of lifting the weight? Now, this is – the capabilities go a little bit more into not just the physical capabilities but the strategies to succeed. Do they have the mindset? Do they have the thought process to become self-educated on fitness, right? So after they go to a trainer and with a coach for a while, are they able, do they have the capabilities to put together their own program and follow it? And I take my position is that I want to make all my clients self-sufficient. I'd love my clients, but I don't want them to stay with me forever. I want them to increase their capabilities to work with themselves. And that's what a good coach would do. And with fitness, it's really important because there's so much conflicting information out there, so much confusing information out there that many people just give up and just read. And there was a thing in marketing, we'll go to marketing, a confused consumer never buys. Mm-hmm. So just as a confused consumer never buys, a confused individual usually doesn't work out. So that's where bringing somebody up to speed on their capabilities of knowing what to work out, how to work out and stuff helps. And a coach can help the client discern what's useful information and what isn't. But, you know, I just want to underline all this discussion where, you know, many people may be thinking that, well, I just go to the gym and get fit, right? It's good cardio. I lose some weight. I get strength. And that's what fitness is all about. Well, in my view, and I would hope others, that fitness is more than just about the outward part, the physical part. I think it's important to have a great outlook on life, a great attitude towards physical conditioning, just a great, you know, a different attitudes about how you see things in life is a fit life, where it's not complaining. Yeah, you can have a great physique and, you know, bench press, whatever. But if you have a really lousy outlook in life and you don't have any friends and you go home to an empty house because nobody loves you, I mean, is that really a life that is fit?
Yeah, correct.
So I think, you know, the whole underlying part here with having a coach work with you is to be able to work on these areas that we're discussing. I just wanted to stop here in the middle before we go into some other areas to underscore the fact that, yes, we're talking about fitness, and yes, it is immensely important to have great cardio fitness, great physical fitness, but also spiritual, emotional, and mental fitness as well. And that's where a coach can help you with all those aspects. So with fitness, you know, it's really a great example of mind-body connection. And what we've been talking about here is basically the inner game of fitness. It, you know, can be equated to the inner game of athletics. And many folks think that the inner game is only applicable to athletes, but it is appropriate to fitness and for individuals. And it is very powerful when you can get a great coach, can help you out with your fitness, you'll start to exhibit great results. And this is so true for, you know, the weekend warriors, as well as the figure competitors, bodybuilders out there, and you know, anybody who's in a physique transformation place, but just all those who just want to get in great shape. We're talking about, you know, the inner game. And so the next part where a coach could help out is beliefs and values. These are those sneaky little things that we really don't know we know, but if we look around us, they're showing their faces to us all the time. And there could be some beliefs that are holding people back from losing weight. They may know that they want to lose weight, but they have a belief that if they lose weight, become more attractive, bad things may happen to them. This could be from childhood experiences, some traumatic things that happened in childhood. It could be just the opposite also. Maybe they were insulted a lot when they were a little kid, and they want to hide, so they hide behind their weight. They know they have to lose the weight for health reasons, but they have this belief that they still want to be hidden from the world. And these are dramatic beliefs that I'm talking about here. There are simple other beliefs and values that I need to be home with my family. So they know they need to go to the gym, but their belief is I need to spend more time with the family. So they'll go home, watch TV, thinking that's spending time with the family.
And then get anchored with the TV.
Right. And then their belief says, well, I'm spending time with my family, but so I don't have any time to go work out. Well, a coach can help decipher these values and beliefs and use them and reframe them to supporting the belief and value, as well as achieving a fitness goal. So, you know, the coach can really help out. And I'm encouraging all of those that if you've been on a fitness program and you haven't dramatically changed either your cardio conditioning, your level of body fat, or your strength over the last year, look into a fitness coach. Look into a coach of some kind.
Now when you're talking about the beliefs, when a coach in a way changes the beliefs, does this new changed belief work according to the subject's own values, in a sense that, because if a coach suggests to a client to make a change that's just so drastic in their beliefs that the subject can't really, you know, make that change, then there is a conflict, there is a disconnect. Well, the coach then, is the coach more in a sense just fine tuning the beliefs that's easily accepted by the subject?
That's a great question. And just to fine tune the question,
okay,
is a good coach doesn't necessarily tell a client what to do. They may bring up an inquiry. They may come to the client with personal experience and see how it fits. You know, advice is like a jacket. You put it on and see if it fits. Mm-hmm. So if there's an offering to the client that is completely out of context with their values, the client would realize it and hopefully speak back to the coach. But effectively, what the coach wants to do is look at the client and what they want to accomplish in their fitness career, right? They may not be making money. I just call it a fitness career, their fitness part of it. Take a look at that and then see what behaviors are supporting it, what behaviors aren't. The behaviors that aren't, take a look into it to see if there's a belief that maybe that is a good belief, like spending more time with your family, but show them that by not going to the gym, they're actually going to be losing time with their family because they could die earlier of a heart attack.
Okay.
Right? So there is one of the things that a coach can do with a belief is help the client look at it long term, as opposed to immediate. Well, I'm spending time with my family now. Right. But you're on the verge of a heart attack and in 5 years you're going to die. Where's your family going to be then? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not that you're trading it off, but then you find ways of incorporating the family into the program. So, you know, I'm just throwing out wild examples that, you know, if the summertime, you come home, you go for a bike ride with the whole family. So then you can have exercise and a bike ride. A coach can help bring those options up to work within the values and the beliefs if they're not so crazy, like a belief that I want to hold on to the weight because I want to hide from the world. That would require some great NLP techniques and time empowerment. But a general belief of, you know, a value is my family is very important, and that's what's stopping me from going to the gym. A coach would help work within that frame of the family being important and show the client how they can have both.
Okay.
It's not – most of the time, individuals, and, you know, I'm included in that – when we come to a decision, we think it's either or.
Okay.
And coaches help them see how it can be both.
The way I see it is a coach will help you focus on yourself first, put what matters to you most first. That way you are a better family member. That way you are a better parent or a better child. And also by focusing on yourself first, the quality of your life improves so much that it just affects everyone around you more positively.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, the coach, when the coach helps you improve your mental, physical, spiritual, emotional fitness, you then can be there for others. Mm-hmm. If you're drained mentally and physically, emotionally, and your kids come home and they need help, you're going, I'm too tired. Or a friend calls you up and says, hey, I got tickets to a great concert. Do you want to go? No, I'm exhausted. I got work tomorrow. And there are ways where when you take care of yourself through a coach, through fitness, and through other aspects, that you're there to participate in life fully as opposed to watching it go by like a ship in the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the coach can work with you on the beliefs.
Okay.
So the other aspect that a coach can help out with is identity factors. And these are a few: is how you see yourself, how you think others see you, and how you see others. Now, how does this work into fitness, you might be asking? Well, how you see yourself is actually very critical and important. In the book, A Body Has a Mind of Its Own, talks about the two images we hold. We have that the internal image, for lack of a better word, on how we see ourselves internally, and then actually how we are, our body schema, our body map and our body schema. And our body map is basically our body image, who we think we are. And I'm sure we've seen very heavy, heavyweight people move around like butterflies. And we go, how can they move so lightly? They have an internal image of themselves as being thin and light. And you have other folks who have lost a lot of weight, who are thin, who move around, clumping around. Their body image or their body image still looks at themselves as being fat and overweight, and eventually they'll move back to it. So you have the external and the internal part of it. And eventually the internal part will win. And this is what happens with a lot of folks with yo-yo dieting and other parts where they go on a weight loss, gain it back, weight loss, gain it back, is that they've never worked on their internal image of how they see themselves. And a coach can help with changing that internal image, that internal representation, because the outside could be great. It could be looking thin, but there's a disconnect between what the outside is and what the inside is representing. And eventually the inside will win out.
Okay.
And so that helps out tremendously. And then, you know, that also helps with a coach as to see, can help the person see how they perceive, how people think they are perceived by others. Many times if somebody is a little bit overweight or has lost weight and still overweight, they're afraid that people perceive them in a negative fashion. And that's all in their head. There's no basic proof behind most of those stories. And a coach can help a person change that around. We're talking about self-image here, self-esteem and self, those type of parts with it. And it doesn't just have to be somebody who's overweight. There's a lot of people who go to the gym who still have low self-esteem and trying to, you know, that scrawny 98-pound weakling, right?
Yeah.
They go to the gym and they'll put on tons of weight, but they don't see it. It's funny because this image disconnect happens in men too, where a lot of it's women who lose weight, who are thin, but don't see themselves thin. A lot of times it's guys who can't put on weight, who put on a lot of muscle, but still look at themselves as being thin.
And they also walk around like the scrawny 98-pound weakling, which is kind of interesting sight, because you see this, you know, this pretty big guy who spends a lot of time in the gym, but he talks like this, you know, kind of like the introverted, shy, not too confident about himself.
Right, right. And these are things that a coach can help with, is having that congruence between the physical and the mental part of the individual. And it can be an amazing shift. That connection in itself on identifying with how fit you are can make a huge change in just break loose a lot of beliefs that people hold on to themselves about being insecure and insignificant. And just that shift alone can help a lot. And a coach, you know, is one that moves forward. A therapist goes back and looks back at why things happen. So that's why I'm using a coach instead of a therapist example. But this is why a coach can be so helpful, especially if it's someone who knows the fitness realm a lot.
Yeah.
So that's another example. And so that brings us to kind of the final aspect of what Diltz calls is the awakener. And you're going, how can there be an awakener with fitness? I just want to go to the gym, lift some weights, and come home. What does this have to do with anything about being awakened?
But don't you kind of have to be awake to be alert in the gym?
Well, yeah, that's a different type of awakener. This is more on the...
I'm thinking of ephedrine.
Right. This is more of the spiritual path of awakening. And this may sound kind of strange at first because we're talking about fitness, but this goes into kind of your life's mission and who you're supposed to be and how you, your ultimate self. And like, I know this is going to be hard for some folks to tie together, except for the fact that if you're supposed to be, as the Army says, be the best you can be, then fitness plays a critical role in that. And if your life mission or part of your mission is to inspire people, many times just being in great shape, you can get out to inspire people. You may not have or may not want the physique to inspire people, such as a bodybuilder, a fitness competitor, or something to that nature, but you would need a great working body to go out to travel to inspire people. Does that make sense?
Sure, that makes sense. It's positive self-image, but also a positive image you're displaying for others that you're trying to inspire.
Right. And if you look at everything happens through the body. Everything. Typing, you have to use your fingers. Yes, you can do voice activated, but your voice is doing it. Everything we create comes through the body. Even though we have the mind to think of the projects and have the imagination, we need the physical body to actually move it from the invisible to the visible. So whatever your life mission is, it's going to involve your body in some way, shape, or form. And why not live your life mission to as long as possible by keeping your body in as great shape as possible? And this is where, again, a coach can help you see the correlation between being in good physical conditioning and living your life's mission. If part of your mission is to create beautiful art and make the world a better place as far as beauty, and all you do is paint and smoke and drink or whatever, you know, however you get your, it may not be smoke and drink. It could be just being locked up in your studio for a long time. Well, eventually that's going to get to you and your body's going to deteriorate and it's going to not hold up its immune system correctly. Well, working out can help you have a longer life so that you can continue with your art and your beauty.
Right, because an artist who's locked up in his or her studio for days just by him or herself is not really healthy for the body. And also think about it long term. Suppose it comes at time when that artist is displaying the artwork at a show or at a art convention or at a showing at a special showing. How do you think that artist would be feeling? How confident the artist would be when the artist is meeting people and talking to other exhibitors? Probably not too well.
Right, exactly. And I'm just using artists as an example here, but you can look at any life mission is going to be more fulfilled by living longer. And this is where fitness can come in very helpfully. And this is where a good coach can help the client tie in their life mission, their purpose, why they're here, with having good fitness. And so we talked about, just to recap, Rishi, a little bit, we talked about how a coach can help out with the environmental factors, you know, the behavioral factors, the capabilities of the client, the beliefs and values, the identity factors, you know, that self-image, if you will, and then the spiritual factors of the life's mission, kind of. And all of these come down to, you know, if you're resisting what I'm saying, it comes down to a belief. If you're accepting it, it comes down to beliefs. And this is really important about beliefs, and I'm very passionate about how a fitness coach can help you basically reprogram your mind for fitness.
It's more than just the endorphin rush you get from a good workout.
Although that's nice. So, yeah, it is more than that. So anything else, Rishi, you want to talk about this?
I bring up just the feeling good part because it is important to have a good, it is important to not just focus on the workout itself. You got to focus, holistically about all other aspects of your life. And fitness is definitely one part, but you have a coach working with you, on the fitness level, but also on other levels about, lifestyle habits, and just change one aspect, it changes the rest.
Yes. It's like a domino effect. Mm-hmm. It really can be that way. And it's just the other really quick thing about working out is we've talked about before, Rishi, is that anchoring process. And if a coach can educate a client, if the coach can't be with the client when they're working out, they can remember to anchor themselves after they have a personal record, a personal best, and then take that sense of accomplishment and trigger that anchor when they're in a meeting during the day. So they can take that great benefit, not just the physical benefit, but the emotional benefit of a great workout and apply it elsewhere in their life.
Yeah, I remember that. We did a podcast on that,
I believe. Yep. Yeah. And that's another thing that a coach can help with is describing to the client or helping the client anchor themselves either with the circle of excellence or just anchoring it. But those are things that they can take with them elsewhere. It's not just working out. It really is about programming your mind, body, and spirit the whole time. Mm-hmm. So remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And if you don't take your rightful responsibility and begin to program your own mind,